Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Hi, everybody. We are going to jump right into the Yak Trap because yesterday with Sarah here, and we thank her for doing that. We didn't to finish our yaks. So, and we are very excited because we have guests in studio today to promote the fastest bartender contest. The greatest bartender in the history of the world, Mr. Billy Riley, will be joined by the one and only longtime lifer, friend of the show, and a man I consider one of my best buddies ever, Mr. James Tiberius Cerrito, who I really did not get a chance to chat with enough when I was at his fine establishment when my daughter graduated.
It's really great that they're both here because what's happened is Jimmy has been able to draw Billy up. Billy is shy. And Jimmy's been able to warm him up this morning.
I will tell you this, that both of these gentlemen, I urge you to take a look at them, kids. You'll see what a lifetime in the bar business does to one's face. Anyway, no, I'm kidding, of course.
Google the word craggy.
Craggy. They will be joining us to talk about the fastest bartender contest. But now, without further ado, we're going to pick right up from yesterday. We're going to get right into the yaks. This next
bonus
call
yaks. Bonus
is entitled Dream Lady. Let's listen.
Hi. I'm calling from Rochester, New York. It's 6 o'clock in the morning.
Oh.
And I just woke up. I had a dream about being in a casino. And I was looking around to see if they had $5 blackjack tables. That's what I usually like to play, but because I still don't have it.
What?
And there was other stuff going on, but it's too hard to explain. So
okay, clear your throat.
That's all
that's
on my mind at this time in the morning.
Susan, I've had casino dreams.
I have too.
Thank you, Dream Lady. I've had casino dreams multiple times. In various degrees of success, usually.
Is your dream about trying to find a cheap table, though?
No, my dream is about hitting the big one.
Me too.
It's unfortunate.
And also, I don't think she should clear her throat. Have you ever seen the phenomenon of when they like take all the rust off of an engine and it doesn't run anymore?
Oh, so
I'm afraid if she.
When did he get back?
If she cleared her throat, she might pass.
Are you ready for a guest suggestion?
Yes, I love it.
Don't remember it, but here's the call.
Hey, Mike, Rob, Oscar. This is Dave from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, F that guy from the Perkins commercials. Forget that idiot.
Okay.
Try to get that guy who is in the insurance commercials with the big bird, with the emu. I bet that guy would be a good guest.
No, I don't want him. I don't want him. I don't like this. But I appreciate it. As far as the guy from Perkins, how many hoops did they want you to run through for this idiot? Come on. We were going to give this guy a little spotlight. He doesn't get interviewed.
No,
come on.
No. And we don't do insurance people guests. We don't do Flo. We don't do that guy with the emu. They can just get bent.
Not big advertising.
No.
We don't do that. Although Perkins, you might say, is a pretty decent sized chain, but we don't do that.
Well, also played the president.
Now, how much of this was them making you go through hoops? And how much of this was your usual deal where you get guests sometimes, but it's a struggle for you.
Well, what happened is that he was into it, and his agent, all the best theatrical agents, Mike, are based in North Carolina because I spoke to his agent, and his agent said—
Did he really have a Southern accent?
As thick as tar. And he said that they're going to look in, and Perkins said no. Perkins said no.
Fine.
And I followed up with Perkins, and they didn't send me anything, not even so much as a pie.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But anyway, who's next? Anybody coming in the pipeline? Any exciting guests?
Yes, as a matter of fact, Jack Diamond will be joining us in studio to talk about the demise of his show and the future of his show, which should be fun.
Very good.
And
very good.
Also, we are still working out with Vern Lundquist with CBS.
All right, well, that's good. And the lady, I wish there were more people that liked this Gentleman Jack the way I like Gentleman Jack. They renewed it for a second season, so work on that Saran Jones.
Yes.
I'm watching her other show right now because of the recommendation of a listener, which is called Dr. Foster. So
I have reached out to her people, but they're all British agents, so they won't sound like they're from North Carolina.
And they'll get back to you at midnight. Another call on the TMOS Yak Jack. Let's listen. This says nice guy.
Oh, a nice guy.
I hope it is.
Where am I calling from? The toilet. That's where I'm calling from.
I'm constipated.
Oh.
There's a dirty Q-tip on the floor.
Oh,
oh no! I just got laid off.
Oh,
and
laid off. I'm sorry.
I can't poop. Oh. Christ. No, I'm just kidding. F*** you, man.
Whoa! 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 What the heck was going on there? Who would have let that get on the air?
Is that our second call from Alan Wentzel?
All right, now we've gone through, this is part two. Okay. 2 days in a row with the Yak Shack. We have a true drunk. That's
what
I put on
good,
this.
Good, good.
Let's listen to our true drunk of the day.
So, this is Bill from Fredericksburg, and he's going to 2 a.m. on a Saturday. I don't know what Saturday. But I always want to say this.
What?
I'm taking your challenge. Challenges are very, very seriously, so I am calling you while I am intoxicated. And I'm leaving a note, a reminder in my phone, that I need to call you in the morning. Because, Mike, you wanted to hear a call from us in the morning.
People are listening to what I asked for.
Here's what you're going
to
get, boys. You ask, you shall receive. So this is my, this is Bill from Fredericksburg, and this is my intoxicated phone call. My, I have been drinking adult beverages phone call. My, hey. It's time to go to sleep, phone call. So you get a little bit of both. A little bit of everything. Hopefully I call you in the morning, boys. Good night.
You know what's so great about that one? Is that you know how different liquors and different beverages? No,
oh, sorry.
Different beverages give you a different feeling when you're drunk. Like a red wine is usually a very friendly drunk, but also there are different eras of your drunk, and that is he is at the exact moment where he thinks he's doing great. He really thought he was doing great.
Interestingly, the next call is same different guy.
Oh, good.
So let's see. That usually means
did
when
he,
I write
did
that
he
down.
Label it too?
No. Same different guy means that he might have called back in a different state of mind.
Okay.
Let's listen.
Good morning.
Oh, he's up again.
Bill
no, he's
from
up.
Fredericksburg.
Hi.
Good morning.
He's sober.
Yeah.
Woke up and was thinking, hey, you know, Mike goes and talks, comes to camping, dude.
What?
Just
camping.
Grow up. Go out. Go camp with your son. Your son's going to see this. He's going to see.
Stop drinking.
Dad's having fun. We're all having fun. We're going camping. He's going to love it. One. Two. You're going to have fun with him. He's going to see, oh, look, outdoors is fun. Doing all this adventure is fun. Glamping, dude, that's for the ladies. I hate to, you know, hey, wait. I mean, come on, though. I'm not wrong. Can't get my wife to go camping with me. But, you know, we'll just say. You know, and it's not something you need to tell him that. You know,
he's still drunk.
He is, yeah. I was going
to
say.
Life goes soft, man. And you're trying to build a strong, virile young man. So take him camping. Build a character. Puts hair on his chest, even though he's only 5. Be good for both of you. All right. So that's all I got.
That's all I got.
I'll hang up and listen.
I'm very pleased that this man was drinking a lot the night before, woke up maybe still with a little alcohol in his blood, and was still thinking of us and the show. I think that's awesome.
I'm pretty sure he left himself a note. It was that important. And I like the fact that
that's terrific.
Drunk, and he was going between the word camping and camping.
And I will take that under advisement. Look, we're up in one of the great camping areas of the world.
Maybe the best.
Acadia National Park. There's none better. So, you know, I'll take it under advisement. It's just, tents.
I don't think, you know what, you know what, that guy sounds like he likes a tent. You're not a tent guy.
I'll
you know
bring her. I'll bring the missus and let her do the work.
But you don't even want to sleep in a tent. You're a cabin guy.
Well, look, the plan is, if you want to know the truth, the plan is that we have... said that we would do it. We say a lot of stuff. Every year we say we're going to do the flower beds. We never do the flower beds.
Right.
Every year we say we're going to do this. We don't do this. But the one thing we've talked about a lot is a tent on the deck to sleep under the stars.
You could do that.
5 feet from the house.
Yeah.
That might happen. Let's take a call from Mr. Dan Cortez, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay. Mike, KMOS, Dan Cortez here from Salt Lake City.
Hello.
Mike, I don't know how you do it. I'm at my wit's end with these octogenarian blue hairs in this effing state.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about them always being an inch from your rectum. This wizened octogenarian literally is on my ass in the Kohl's checkout line in she's got to get back to her Buick Husband to get to the Blue Plate Special.
I'm influencing Dan.
PM. Thank goodness, almost casket time. All I have to say.
Casket time.
I'm going now, lock myself in my house, and renew my TMOS bonus package.
There
Atta
you
boy.
Go.
Get it.
Thank you, Dan.
Live it.
Thank you.
Breathe it.
Thank you, Dan.
Love the show.
That's kind of channeling me. I like that.
Do you like Kohl's? The store Kohl's?
No, not a
me
fan.
Me neither.
Not a
but
fan.
But I think if it's casket time and Kohl's sold a casket, they should spell it with a K. And it would be the
Kohl's
casket.
Well, if they sold it, it'd be a Tommy Hilfiger casket. Let's get to...
it'd be a little too small for me.
Yeah, it'd be a little cotton, cheap Tommy Hilfiger
wrinkled casket.
Hey, Rob, remember that great picture I was talking to you about?
Yes.
Yeah, it's gone. Next call says Cookie Monster.
Hey, Mike. I just downloaded the Cookie Monster voice for my Waze directions.
Yes.
And I noticed that it doesn't sound like Cookie Monster. It sounds like your impression of George Lopez. And now I'm wondering if Cookie Monster just sounds like your impression of George Lopez.
Give me a break.
It got me thinking that I would love to hear you do an impression of George Lopez doing Cookie Monster. Any of you guys are still using Waze, check out the Sesame Street voice, and maybe you'll agree with me. Oh, this is Dan from Delaware.
Hi, Dan.
I want a cookie. Give me a break. That's right. Yum, yum.
Next one says for real. Have no idea what it is.
Good evening, gentlemen. This is Pat calling from Southern Virginia.
Oh.
You know, I've been listening to y'all for many years now.
Great.
And, you know, honestly, I'm just calling to see if y'all can help me out.
It's a fake accent.
Oh, yeah, it is.
I seem to run into a brick wall as far as new recipes to try in the kitchen right now.
Okay.
And I've always wondered, what is the recipe for Rob's Three Wax tater tot casserole? I would love to know, just because I need some new, fresh ideas.
All right, do you think he deserves it, or is he just
busting
balls?
Please let me know. I'd just love to try something out.
Well, if I did it, it wouldn't be with a fake accent. Here, I can give it to you in about 20 seconds.
All right.
Ground a pound to a pound and a half of ground beef with some onions and celery in a pan. Drain it. Add a large can of cream of mushroom soup. Mix it up. Put it into a greased casserole. Cover with shredded cheese. Cover with tater tots. Bake at 300 till the tater tots are done. And try to ignore the disgusted face on Maddie Masiello's face, because she right now looks like I just showed her a dog turd.
Hey, Maddie, who's hungry? Listen up. Who's hungry, Maddie?
Serve with flarp.
Hey, Maddie, that doesn't appeal to you, that particular casserole?
I cannot say it does.
You have to try it.
It's really good with a little sour cream.
Pony, nice. Pony, I didn't know you were there. Have you tried it?
Oh, I've made it. I make
You've
it.
Made it?
Yeah.
The only difference, I use one can of cream of mushroom and one can of cream of celery.
You are ruining it!
No, why would he be ruining it? That doesn't sound like it would be
actually,
bad. That's plenty of salt.
Actually, I know it is plenty of salt. Actually, I think all Campbell's cream of soups are pretty much interchangeable.
Yeah, basically.
I don't think there's more than a mushroom in the whole can.
Yeah, the condensed ones are.
Yeah,
And by the way, we made pot roast the other day in a slow cooker.
Yes.
And the onion soup was the one element we left out. Never again. You need that salt content when you have a cheaper cut of meat.
Also, the chemicals soften the meat.
That's the chemicals that they have in the artificial. Next one is Dan from New York. Listen.
Hi, guys. Dan. This is Dan from Ticonderoga, New York.
Ticonderoga.
Mike, now that you're back in New England, I just wanted to suggest a beverage for you. It's Woodchuck Hard Apple Cider, and it's gumption. It's excellent, and it goes with just about anything. And,
I love the name.
When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always call.
Oh,
Dan Towns.
Oh, he's an ass.
Is that now? Why? Now, I
he's
know
trouble.
That
he's trouble. Always has been trouble.
Woodchuck Ale.
I've
That's
had
Dan.
It.
What was his? I forgot what his. He had problems with everything.
Yeah, well, he started to get involved, and then we started to give him that song that you know, sort of a Weird Al Yankovic treatment of the Leslie Gore song. Not Leslie Gore, Petula Clark. And so he said he was going to start to sell T-shirts that said Dan Town, and we said not okay. Our joke, and they don't marry. And that Woodchuck cider is okay, but I think all of those ciders are pretty much interchangeable. They all just sort of taste like sour apples.
Well, there you go, Dan Town. If you want to know, Rob hates you. Let's
That's
take
right.
another call right now.
Burn this in hell, Dan Town.
This is simply Lamp. I have no idea. Although I think it might be some Anchorman reference.
Probably,
but I don't
know.
Let's listen.
I love carpet.
That's
Oh, that's one of your wacky
takes.
That's
the wrong thing I put in there.
Hey, Mike, Steve Carell called the Yak Shack with really great fidelity.
They got cross-promoted. That's from my soundboard. I'm tired. The next call comes from a nice lady. Want to hear a nice lady?
Lady!
Let's listen to this.
Well, hello, fellas.
Hi.
And this is Molly from good old Spokane, Washington. Mike, you said to call for bitching about you and stuff. Well, I'm calling to say you rock.
Hey!
You're awesome. The show is awesome. Rob and Oscar, awesome. Pony and Maddie, they're super duper awesome too.
Wow.
But Mike, you are the man. You're the man.
Thank you.
Okay. So, cheer up.
No.
Take that frown and make it upside down.
Yeah, make it upside down.
So I'm going to sing you
she's
little
drunk.
Song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, a song?
Don't. Changing.
Oh, Billy Joel.
Oh, okay, it's turning.
Michael Mara, don't go changing.
It's a really accurate representation of the song. Do, do, do.
She may come back later.
You know what?
Like at the end of the Yak Shack.
I don't think that, I think it's nice that she complimented all of us, but not a kind word for Dahlia.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is Dahlia on campus today?
She is, and I like it when the interns are mentioned.
That's why you're showing off for Dahlia. The next call is a good critique. Let's listen.
Good evening, gentlemen of the TMOS world.
Hello.
I'm calling from Boston, but this is Chris from Bel Air, Maryland, mm-hmm. and kind of put down a bottle of wine tonight by myself.
Good
not
for
so
you.
Special. Anyway, I was calling on this anniversary of the Caps' first Stanley Cup win,
mm-hmm.
and I was in Boston last year when they won it, and I just want to let you guys know that it sucks that the Caps are not in it this year. But the main reason I'm calling is because, Mike, you're saying a thing that's driving me bonkers in that when you say, I could care less, it actually means that you actually could care less.
Ah, that's
when
right. It's couldn't.
Should be,
sure.
I couldn't care less.
Mm.
Means the thing that you don't care about.
Yeah, I get
so
it.
Minute.
I get it. Let me hang up on you. I get it. I don't mean to cut you off. You're right. You're right, lady.
Mike, I don't mind. That doesn't bother me. And let me say this about you.
Yes.
Don't go changing.
Okay. Mike, I couldn't care less about either one of those statements, yours or hers. I couldn't care less.
Do you find it weird that the Caps fans are celebrating the anniversary of winning a cup?
Yes, I do.
I think it's
a loser activity.
It is exactly what
I said
to my dad.
It's a loser activity, okay? And that's 40 years of losing,
yep.
of showing up when they were losing.
Yeah.
You know, hey, they'll be back. They've got a good organization, as they say in Canada. And I hope the Caps come back. And there's nothing like the Stanley Cup. And congratulations to the St. Louis Blues. Hope you have a big parade and hope you have a lot of fun. This next one is about Spirit Airlines. I'm not happy because, you know, I'm flying that out to Vegas.
Yeah, it's a great.
I'm an idiot.
It's a great organization, Mike.
Here's a review.
Hey, guys. It's Alex from Bel Air, Maryland.
Another Bel Air.
Wow. I'm really excited for the Vegas trip. My brother-in-law, Johnny Hicks, and I are coming out there.
Johnny
Hicks. Really, really excited. I am even more excited, however, for the Tuesday show after the Vegas trip to hear about Mike's awful experience flying on Spirit Air. It is by far the worst airline that I've ever been on. So that is something I'm looking more forward to than the actual show out in Vegas. So can't wait for the Yaks to come in November.
I'm going to be drinking on both flights, so don't worry about it.
Wow.
I hope I'm going to be drinking on the Sunday flight home.
I think that's how they name the airline, isn't it? After the
spirits.
Yeah.
Have a nice spirit.
Yeah.
We have a Wegmans call on the and just a couple more left on the Yak Shack, and then we're going to get the fastest bartender dudes in here.
Right.
Let's go. This says Wegmans. I know you love Wegmans.
Hey, guys. Tom from Frederick. Sorry about that, Rob, but there are no discounts on sandwiches for Little Robert. Wegmans does not offer any discounts to their employees on any of their merchandise. He can get a cup of coffee for $1, though, if he drinks coffee. That's about it.
And we'll have an update on Robert
today,
right?
And please don't call him Little Robert because he's now taller than me.
He is good-looking kid.
Thank you.
Rob's got news on that front.
I do.
On the Wegmans front.
Mm.
We got two more. First one comes from an angry dad.
So at Walmart, there is this one bitch
who I will not show a receipt to. I won't even give her the respect or courtesy of speaking to her or acknowledging her. I have 5 kids, family of 7. I go shopping. It's a cart full of stuff. I normally go through self-checkout.
You know what? I have to say, there's a lot of anger on the Yak Shack this week.
I think, but you know what? It's good that they're getting it out on the Yak Shack and not in society. This is a safe outlet.
Well, listen to the rest of the story.
Okay.
This cow of a woman has stopped me 3 different times and gone through all of my bags. She has said, and I quote, "I watched you going through self-checkout. I know you didn't ring everything up."
Oh, not
wow.
She
goes through all of our stuff. Lo and behold, I did ring everything up. Because I'm not a goddamn thief.
She's not allowed to.
After the 3rd time, I'm done. I'm tired of being accused or profiled or whatever the hell you want to call it by some cow of a woman. Oh, my God, she makes me so angry. Yeah. So now I just walk on. I hear her. She's like, "Sir, sir, sir." I don't care. I don't look back. I don't care. I just walk out. I'll gladly show my receipt to any of the others. I generally don't have to, but I will. But she can lick my
Oh!
Wow.
Have a great day.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. That's one of those on the bubble bleeps.
Look, we said yesterday on the show, Carla did it. Carla said, no, thank you. You say no, thank you, and can I check your receipt? No, thank you. And keep walking. You are under no obligation there to do that. You don't sign anything to go shop in that store. That's the truth.
An answer, though, for Ed Anger there that just called in. First of all, don't use self-checkout. Because that probably is part of your problem. And don't just not...
No, hold on. He doesn't have a problem, Rob. He can use any checkout he wants. The problem is they're not allowed to do it. And Carla has verified that because he can do all the self-checking out he wants. Now, you can't steal if you're on camera and right. You get caught because I'm sure they've got more security than just the person. I think that there are overzealous people at the gate... The gatekeepers.
The gate.
Remember what it's supposed to be? Hugs are great. Walmart greeters.
That's
They're
not there
security
anymore.
People.
No.
You're not allowed to do it. So you don't have to go through that crap. So I'm for this guy. He wants to check out anywhere he wants.
All right.
You say very politely to these people, no, thank you. I'll never do it again.
Yeah.
They will never look at my receipt. I'm not a thief. You're not looking at my stuff. It's that simple.
But if he was actually accused of stealing, wouldn't that be enough to make you take your business elsewhere? I wouldn't even go back to the store.
Well, I mean, if it's the convenience store, you know where they put those, but up where we are, where
of
there's
course,
nothing
of
else.
Course,
that's
yeah.
the way it goes. Well, you know what? Let's have a palate cleanser. Our
Please,
last call.
The final
a
call.
Fitting last call. A musical number. I believe it might be the same lady calling back, but it's hard to tell.
All right.
But what a talent. What a talent.
Thank
let's
you,
listen.
Mike.
Okay, so I found the words, Mike.
Oh, the same
lady. Oh, good.
Don't go changing to try and please me. You never let me down before. Don't imagine you're too familiar.
No.
And I don't see you anymore. I would not leave you in times of trouble. We never could have calmed this before. Yeah. I take the good times
yes.
and the bad times. Whoops, I missed that one.
Yeah.
I take you just the way you are. Mike O'Mara.
That's it?
What?
I love the action.
Mrs. Z wants candy.
Shannon.
Thanks, Paige.
I like to snack.
Well, we should have something sweet.
She loves candy.
Airheads, if they're sour, Sour Patch. The watermelon flavored ones.
Sweet Tarts.
Nerds, Black Licorice.
Shannon.
Good and Plenty. Chocolate.
A Hershey bar.
Peanut butter cup.
Mary Jane's.
Bitter I ate all of my favorite candies.
Don't worry, Peach. You can stock up on all your favorites through the Mike O'Mara Shopping Center. Click the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
The best of O'Mara.
We are here with Angie Goff. Let me give you the vitals on Angie. She will be, actually, the podcast started last Friday, Oh My Goff podcast, right here at Podcast Village.
Absolutely,
right?
Mike, 100%.
And 3 episodes ready for your binge listening.
including the Real Housewives of Potomac, Gisele Bryant, and Skins quarterback Alex Smith, available on YouTube and Apple Podcasts. She's returning to Channel 5 on July 8th at 4 p.m. Eastern, co-anchoring the station's 4 p.m. newscast, the new 4 p.m. newscast, with Blake McCoy, and she will serve as co-host of Like It or Not, weeknights at 7 p.m.
You like that?
What is like? Tell me what Like It or Not is.
what is? I was expecting a little bit more.
Like It or Not?
Like It or Not? How about a crusty laugh for Like It or Not? Like It or Not? You're also on Twitter and Instagram and all that, and Facebook and all that stuff. I have no idea what it means. I don't know what it means. Is it a game show?
Well, it sounds like it. It says it's actually, I'm hosting it tonight. You can watch it online. So I know we're based out of D.C., but if you are on Fox's website, Fox 5's website, it's streamed. But Like It or Not, basically we take buzzworthy stories of the day or bizarre stories, and we do a roundtable whether or not we like it. And it gives us a chance to give a little bit more opinion, you know, in the news world.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the news world, we're kind of trained to kind of stay down the line. And after my little hiatus, I decided if I were to come back to news, I'd have to be able to be a little bit more me and a little bit more authentic, as they say.
Well, that's, I mean, in all seriousness, you are someone who has always done well on any show you go on, as far as, you know, you can handle that. And there are anchors that do that and others that don't. And you can come into this environment. You like it. You've always enjoyed doing this kind of radio. And so I think that's how many people are going to be in the round table situation?
There's four total. So there's going to be three main hosts. So there's three of us. And then there's the fourth chair where they invite somebody and they're a surprise guest. And they walk through the door. It is kind of like a game show. The door opens up and they come out. Ooh, maybe. Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh. So 30-minute format? Or is it
yeah,
or
30
an
minute
hour?
Format. And
so cool. I love something new.
It's really fun. It's really fun. It's different. It's doing really well. Yeah. And then the 4 p.m. show, we're going to see how that's going. We're going to do rehearsals all this week and then kick it off when I get back from the beach on July 8th. And yeah, I'm excited about it because it's a chance for me to be able to do all the social media stuff and
You were recently the fourth chair on Like It or Not.
I saw you
were the surprise guest.
To my surprise, too.
To your surprise. How is it working with that crowd? Do you like the guys on the show?
Yeah, so far. I mean, that's like the first time I met them.
Uh-huh. Oh, really? On air?
Yeah.
That's fun.
I went in to shoot some promos, and they were like, oh, you want to do the show tonight? So why not?
So do you ever get heavy on it? I mean, do you ever get a heavy story, or is it pretty light as far as, do you just do deep dives on subjects that aren't necessarily traditional news subjects?
It's a little bit of both. I mean, they started off with politics, from what I understand, and then that kind of just went sideways. And so they don't do so much politics because, as you can imagine, I mean, I think we have enough of that on cable news and
everywhere
else.
So they're more likely to do the pizza rat?
Yeah, the pizza rat, the alligator gender reveal, real hard-hitting stuff.
And, but it's fun. But, I mean, especially
also,
if, you know.
Things that are relevant that are in the news, things like deep fakes, Mark Zuckerberg, social media, things that everyone's talking about and has an opinion on. But say in a regular newscast, you're just reporting it and you know that there's context that you want to add to it, but you kind of feel like you have to hold it back. And they really encourage us just to go all out. And to be quite honest with you, I've done the show a couple times and it's been a real gear shift for me because you're so used to having that filter. That I've actually been a little reserved where, you know, you guys know how I am
in real life, right?
Yes. So I think there's going to be a learning curve there, but I'm looking forward to it.
You know, when you did, it just seems like I seem to just remember you being one of the first where you were anchoring, and I believe I would watch it on, when you would do the weekends on NBC, and you would be, you would have your computer there and you would be communicating online with people as you were. I always thought, you know, if I was ever in a TV anchor situation, I would be so concerned about screwing up and you know, not seeing my prompter, not going to the right camera. And there you are anchoring the morning news and you're communicating mm-hmm. in between with people online. And I don't think I've had you on since that happened. I wanted to ask you, how did that whole thing get started? I know you were always very social media aware with your brand, even before maybe they were telling you. It had to be before the TV stations came to you, because they don't come up with those ideas. And you were doing that for a very, very long time. When did that all get started with you?
Yeah, that was back when I was at WUSA, I think in 2008. It was probably over, a decade ago. And
but the live stream component probably came when you were at 4.
No, actually it started, I would carry, I have pictures of carrying around like a 6-pound laptop.
Oh, wow.
And it was like, I'm dialed up to Ustream. I'd be like waiting. Oh, there's one viewer, two viewer.
That is awesome.
But what was weird is, people made fun of it. They were like, nobody wants to see behind the scenes. No, you're talking to people. This is weird. And for me,
it was spectacular.
It was an outlet, because when I was working at the CBS station here, I was hired to do traffic. And because of the union rules and everything, even though I came from a news background, until I was able to break out of the traffic contract, I couldn't I can even read a news voiceover on the air mm-hmm. without getting in trouble.
Wow.
So for me, I was like, well, here's a loophole. It's called the internet. And so that's when I started using the internet to cultivate this community and to really start telling my own stories, and then taking viewer generated content and through social media and turning it into my own little stories that they would put on the air, because that was my only way that I could create content and not feel like I was in the straitjacket.
Wow. I didn't know that.
And
I didn't know that's where
it came from. So that's actually where it came from. And I remember, and I tell the story, when I was doing traffic and I realized, wow, this thing called Twitter is fast. It's in real time. It's faster than our website. And so I started mentioning that on the air, and I'd say, follow me on Twitter. I'm doing these updates in real time on your traffic. This is before WTOP traffic had any type of traffic, you know, anyone. And I got called into the office by the news director and kind of got a tongue lashing in a nice way for mentioning another website on our air instead of sending everybody to our news site. And I was sitting there banging my head against the brick, basically, again, being like, no, but don't you see? And it was always a constant. I always felt like I was in constant explanation. I mean, even with the podcast thing, I mean, that's why I walked away most recently, because there's always this feeling, I think, for some people in this business to evolve and to do the next thing. And sometimes you just have to take a risk in something you believe in. And so even though I knew at the time that people were mocking and making fun of the behind the scenes thing and saw no value in it, in the back of my mind, I really said, this is going to go somewhere. Like, we can't ignore it. And this is going to be a part of the fabric of, you know, what we do. And so people still to this day are like, oh, social media is one thing and TV is one thing. But I really think that everybody in some capacity is connected online. And it's really become a part of our lives. And so I no longer really separate that. And I guess I never really saw it as a separation. And so that's why I've been able to kind of just, you know, move onward with what I believe in. But yeah, and moving over to 4, I had the opportunity to have my own show. You know, I got back into news. And so literally I would just host it from my phone. But it is like producing a second show. And I don't think that every newscaster should be doing Facebook Live.
Well, I don't know how you do it. I would look at that and I don't know if I'd be able to pull that off, but I found it as just a consumer to be riveting. I thought it was just so cool to see. And for people that are interested, and people, anyone that would tell you people wouldn't be interested in that is out of their minds. It's
Mike,
completely
you've been in broadcasting longer than any of us. Do you find it so?
Since the 1800s, Rob. Did I mention I'm 60?
I know.
I'm 90 years old today. There we go.
Don't you find it weird that station management wouldn't be forward thinking?
No, it's just like, Oscar and I would tell you about as far as this thing, you know, as far as digital, and you know, they're still catching up.
They still don't know
how to do it. They still don't really know
also,
how to get it out there.
And Angel, I'll let you tell your story and time-wise, how much time we have left in this break.
All the time you need.
Okay. Tell them how you had to fight for your podcast on your own to make sure this happened, to walk away, to actually build what you built. Because, Mike, we don't have that many people come to you in life and say, I'm walking away so I can build this, and then I'll see where the chips lie after the fact.
Yeah, right.
I think that it just got to the point where trying to explain your ideas and trying to convince people and trying to get people to trust you in what you believe, that's really hard in any corporate environment that you're in. It doesn't matter what call letters or what station it is. And really, because it's kind of seen as a disruption in a sense, because they have the day-to-day stuff that they need to hit and everything is going to be a sideshow. And I knew that I did not want it to be a sideshow or a side hustle. Like, this was something, this was going to be an outlet where I could be myself. I could try to do interviews. We could share content. We could create more content, which is what we want, right? And so instead of just having to ask and go through all the red tape that's involved with that, I didn't want to go through. I mean, I'm exhausted. I've been doing this for 10 years. You know, finally, when everybody comes around to social media and accepting that posting personal things actually results in people communicating and relating to you more. I mean, there was a time where I was called into the office. I'm not going to say which station it is. And I was told, you know, stop posting about your personal life and your family and this and that. And I felt a little weird about it. And then fast forward a year later and everybody's being pushed to, oh, show more about yourself. Yeah. Show da da da. And I'm like, absolutely. Okay, where were you a year ago I was being shamed and whatnot? And so I just, I was like, I'm not going through that again. And so after talking to a supportive husband who's just said, look, if you got to do this, you're not happy. All I knew is that I was not comfortable staying where I was, that I was not going to be happy. And I needed that time to throw myself into the podcast and create something. And I really believed if I created something that was great, that genuine, my friends would want to watch, that was real, then other people would take notice. I almost wanted to create the podcast. I mean, I became a free agent, in April? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I left the job in December and you've met my agent.
Yes.
Jerry Maguire. He's already called me once. He's
out of central casting.
I'm like, I got
guy.
A job, Jerry. Stop
from
calling
New York.
Me.
From
You're
New York.
You're going to get paid. You're going to get paid.
Out of central casting, this guy's in Charlie Burney's office.
Yeah.
And I'm using Charlie Burney's office because it's a nicer office.
I know. You were so faking.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm going to sit in Charlie's seat because he's not here at the moment. And I'm going to sit in front of Angie. And mind you, I have nothing to do with this agent-client relationship. I just had to explain to her agent what this podcast was and what we were building. That's all it was.
And you're good at it, though. I mean, you brought me into this thing. Yes. You know how this game works, and nobody has been on the cutting edge of it more and knows how to, like, lay it out there, what it does for you, how you get it done, and all that. Then Oscar, I'm sure he did a great job when he spoke to Jerry Maguire.
He was great. He did.
He said, Jerry, baby, this is Oscar, baby.
I eased some tensions.
You did. You evened it out. And the thing is I think when people, it's the same thing. They hear a podcast and they think that I'm like my mother's in Chin's basement.
Right.
Which, by the way, Mike, you buried the lead.
I was going to get to Chin.
I knew I had Alex Smith and a Real Housewife, but Chin was on the first podcast. So
I didn't know that. Rob, you should have told me that. Chin, I didn't know that Chin
star.
Was on the first
Some
one.
Some surprises star. For you. From
oh,
you.
My
yeah,
God.
Yeah,
sorry,
yeah, yeah.
I have to ask. All right. Well, you brought it up, so now you've stopped the interview.
Okay.
No. Because I have to ask you about Chin. All right. You know,
are we going to be talking about Chin
that's
later,
Angie's
you
mom.
Yeah, no, it's okay. You can go
okay,
now. Go
okay,
now. Go
okay.
Now.
Yeah. Oh, what do you want to know about Chin?
Is Chin still gambling compulsively?
Well, she has been relegated to the iPad, to iPad gambling.
You, like, she doesn't go to the Charlestown anymore?
No, I mean, she, special occasions.
Yeah.
Special
did she ever
occasions.
Go to the new one, the one over at MGM?
Oh, the MGM.
She did, but then she left when she realized she could not smoke inside.
Oh, no.
Angie's mom been part of her world online for a
Chin
long time.
Chin is good. On the first three episodes. She's in the first episode.
And it's
and
great.
I run outside
so
because as I would for your parents or anybody's parents, I run outside to make sure that they're set with parking. Her parents are coming into town. And I open the passenger door. And there is Chin online gambling on an iPad in the passenger seat. And she looks at me like I'm a stranger trying to get an Uber.
Yeah.
I'm like, Chin, we haven't met. I'm Oscar. I'm here to show you where the studios are. And she's like, hold on a sec. And her finger goes straight to the iPad for her next spin.
Yep. Well, she has burned through three iPads.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, Dad, you're spending more money on iPads than you would if you just let her go to Charlestown
go ahead, let her
every
go.
Other
let
weekend.
Let her go.
Oh, God. Well, you got to check it out. Oscar, yeah. Now tell me, how often are we going to have Oh My Golf? How often is that?
So, Angie, right now, after the production today, the Mike O'Mara show, she'll be recording two more episodes. So, we're looking at a weekly basis at this point. Know this, Mike. She launched her show. Just the Alex Smith episode has over, I guess, as of yesterday, 16,000 views. And for, then that's just for the YouTube channel.
Right.
We're talking about multiple thousands more on the Apple Podcast. If you're out there and you're listening to our voices, please subscribe and give Angie a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It's Oh My Goff Show. You search for that, it'll come right up.
Right.
But more importantly, for you, Angie, the idea that she's pushed Mike, our production team, to another, I guess, level.
The next level.
Is,
yeah.
The next level is. It's wild because Angie says, I want to do this. And imagine this, Mike. You're like, I want to do Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee type of situation. Mm-hmm. And she has a segment where you'll see the Real Housewives of Potomac and you'll see Angie driving in what is, I think, the funniest vehicle for the segment.
Uh-huh.
And most adaptive. What you don't know is that Oscar Santana is in the back.
Hunkered down.
Running the audio as Angie, who we found out can't drive, is driving the streets of
D.C. I am Asian.
And the whole thing is being recorded. So I think everybody's going to enjoy all these episodes. And to Angie's credit, as you open it up, a lot of that footage is her footage from her own page, her own Instagram page.
Yeah.
So it's pretty awesome. Pretty impressive how it comes to you. And I'm sure you saw the production value, Mike, on your end.
It's phenomenal. And really, it's just great that you're associated with everybody over at Podcast Village. It's a wonderful, wonderful marriage from the Mike O'Mara Show to this organization here. And I'm so glad you're a part of it. And I think you're going to love it as much as I do,
being
associated with these guys. They're awesome. And congratulations on your return to TV in D.C. Even though I'm not up there anymore, it's fantastic. And everything can continue. Is your husband still living in Alaska while you're up here?
He's actually in Florida for 2 weeks.
Oh, nice. I wish I wasn't in Maine.
Playing golf.
Oh, we have to play golf. That's my thing. Yeah.
I like that. That's right.
Angie, always a pleasure. And do not, you're down the hall when you come in here, so come by. You can pop in anytime, anywhere.
Open door.
Appreciate that.
Nice.
Angie Goff, and wow. And please give my very best to Chin. And I love those glasses. Happy birthday.
They're for you.
Yay,
thank
Mike.
You so much. God bless you. Thank you, Angie. We'll take a break. We will come back with more fun and thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody.
A picture of Carla from Vegas or New Orleans.
Yeah, nice and dark.
The thing about it is he's got that big Dirk energy.
Big Dirk energy, yes!
That was good.
The Mike O'Mara Show podcast is chock full of laughs and stories. Every episode improves your mood, lifts your spirits, and gives you more male vitality. But for maximum impact, you have to subscribe to the TMOS bonus show. Only then can you get
Big Dirk energy.
Get hard for your money back.
It's P1 Hall of Famer Dirk Vastrick. Big Dirk energy is a real thing. I've been listening for almost 12 years, and the TMOS bonus show always puts a smile on my face, a spring in my step, and let's just say there haven't been any complaints in the bedroom.
Ooh, yeah!
Subscribe to the TMOS bonus show today and get Big Dirk energy. Click the banner at MikeOmaraShow.com.
It's electric.
The best of O'Mara.
We are aware that you're clamoring for a show on Monday, and we decided to give it to you. It should be pointed out that the majority of the TMOS crew is slightly sleep-deprived and is perhaps vocally challenged after the whirlwind weekend in New Orleans, Louisiana. Here's the thing about it. Here's the thing about being in New Orleans and the way I behaved.
Yeah.
I had one real night out, and I have to say that I am fatigued on this Monday coming back after doing this. I have to say my compatriots, Messieurs Santana and Spiewak, have iron constitution, rivaling Jimmy Cerrito.
Oh, no, no. No one is like that.
Jimmy slowed down, Rob. Rob, you had no off switch. I've never seen anyone to the detriment of the show, but that's another thing. The off switch, except for No-No. And really, No-No the Clown was all
murdered.
I needed at that show.
Great captain.
All I needed at that show was No-No. But you, Rob Spiewak, I I would wake up in the morning and see the 5 hours after I had been asleep of you in various poses and kissing people's heads and you know, in different. This was Rob here. This was Rob here. This was Rob here.
Well, I tell you, we did a good job on Thursday night. Thursday night was a real mind bender. And then
and for me, it's important to point out, for me, Thursday night, yeah, our first night in New Orleans, mm-hmm, I would not have roared if our former intern girl had not come in to the bar that we were watching a Zydeco band in and said to me, all the guys are across at the Cat's Meow.
Cat's Meow, yes.
Right across the street. And that is when my evening began, when I saw all you guys.
It was so magical when you came in.
The Cat's Meow. But I knew if I was successful enough to avoid the interaction, we would have been back at the room.
You tried
an hour later.
You actually tried. I reached out to you. We arrived Thursday. I reached out to you and said, Papa, are you at the bad place?
Right.
And he said, getting din din, making an early night. This is probably around 7 p.m.
And I know when you use the word din din, you're thinking you're going to be responsible, because that's the word of a father.
But I will tell you that the bad place had been very, very bad to me.
Ah.
And when I say it had been bad to me, we have the generosity of our fan base cannot be disputed. It was all I could do based on my performance in the casino Thursday daytime.
Oh,
not
no.
to put a tip jar, not to put a tip jar on the stage based on how banged up. So it was the combination of that, and it's like, we'll go get dinner. And Carl and I are having dinner going, nah, nah, nah. And I see girl, and suddenly you boys are across the street in New
right,
Orleans,
yes,
Louisiana.
Yes.
And I roared. For me, I don't roar like I used to, but for me, that was pretty damn good.
Yes.
But the roaring continued Thursday night for you, Rob Spiewak.
Right.
Friday night for you, Rob Spiewak.
Well, Friday night
and Saturday
was,
night
Friday
for
was,
you, Rob Spiewak.
Friday was reasonable. Meant,
But also, it Friday night was reasonable.
It was reasonable. I'll give it that.
It was reasonable. It's why when Rob has these little iPads that he uses on stage, and it was not, I'm not going to lie and say that it was happening, but there was almost a, as you were, there was almost a hungover tremor as you were pressing buttons, but not quite. But
okay,
not quite. You weren't there. I tell with you, with your voice, and you and I have to have this frank discussion about Saturday morning, the morning of the show.
Okay.
When I was having a breakfast with my good friends Mike and Nancy Colburn,
right,
with Carla, and you came
I
over.
Think you're going to paint an inaccurate picture. But I will let you go, and then I will answer.
You are lying.
No,
it
no.
is that you were hungover.
No, no, no. No, because I know what hungover feels like. Hungover feels like Sunday morning.
Sunday morning.
Set the scene.
I don't know
what
how
happened?
You did it on Sunday. I don't know how you did it Saturday night. I don't know how you did it Friday night. I don't know how we have a like-minded group of people that come to see us at these shows.
Yes, we do.
By the way, the Destination City Experiment is a success.
Yes, I believe an unqualified success.
Yeah, we're going to... this in about 3 years, this will be like choosing an Olympic city,
yeah,
when we decide where we're going to go. This is
going to
be...
We're going
I swear
back
to, God,
to the Rose Bowl.
Oh, I'm opening it up for you know,
bids.
For suggestions.
Open bids.
Bids. Yes, bids. We will do open
if
bids
you
for
want-
it.
Beijing has dropped out.
Oh, if you want a shot in the arm to your local economy,
oh,
bring
yeah.
TMOS there.
There's going
to
be a financial anomaly for New Orleans if you look at the chart for this month.
Oh, God.
The
it
podcast
was
did that?
It was something to behold. I have to say that it just the constitution of my cohorts is stunning to me as I wake up. And here's my and by the way, I'm ahead of you guys by light years today because we had an 11 a.m. flight.
Yes.
And an 11 a.m. flight, and then got home
Sunday morning.
Yeah, that's smart, man.
Reunited with my son. We put him to bed, and I was asleep less than an hour after we put my son to bed.
Eastern time did your eyes shut?
My eyes were closed, and I was in dreamland by 8:35 last
night. Exactly the time we were boarding our Southwest flight in New Orleans.
Yes.
Huh. Wow,
oh
it's
God.
Almost like we're simpatico.
Did you sleep on the plane, or did you socialize on the plane, social butter? And Rob, you are remarkably better for the...
Rob is a USO tour.
The answer is absolutely. Neither. I had, and I didn't get their names because they did not socialize. two listeners that flew from D.C. to New Orleans to see our show. I don't know them from Facebook or anything. A young couple came and introduced themselves. And then as I was the literally
third... Hot commodity on TMOS listener families.
I was going to say...
They looked a little older after the show.
I was going to say late 20s, but I mean, I don't want to... They look married and happy, so that usually happens in your 30s,
so
I imagine.
It's exciting. I was it's very, very exciting. The third to last person to board a sold-out Southwest flight. So, I mean, you know that it's bad.
He looks so miserable.
Right. I was. And Pony's like, should we get in line? And I said, no, not for a long time, Pony. We're C-27 and C-30. And so we're waiting and we're waiting and we're waiting. And so finally I get on and this couple sees me. And they actually get up and shift and give me the aisle seat. I would have given them
a child.
Yes, I would have given them a child for that.
Why were you in the middle?
Yeah, the only thing that was left, it would have been the back row middle. Yeah,
back row. It was so when you sat down, where were you seated when they got up and
when they gave me a seat? I think I was row 15 on the aisle. Mm. Which is not a bad seat. Not a bad
big
win.
Yeah. Big win. Yeah.
But I'll tell
you. Do you ever get that when you're walking down the middle of the plane? Do you have people looking at you fearfully?
Yeah, I use it.
I know. I study them because I was trying to connect eyes with Rob because I was on the plane first.
Yes, of course he was.
And I remember.
How did you get front row on the way down, by the way? Did you pay for that?
No, no. Todd and Marissa got on there.
Oh, okay.
And they waited for us.
I see. Very, very nice.
Now, with Southwest Airlines, you can pay for an upgrade to sit in the front of the plane, correct?
You can pay to get on the plane on group A, the first group.
Oh, that's right. It's festival seating, so you can pay to get on the plane first,
the festival.
Which means you can sit in your favorite seat.
Festival seating describes the atmosphere more than anything.
Yeah. It's
this
American airports, ladies and gentlemen.
This poor flight attendant is what they call them these days, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He's doing shtick. He's got a disco ball. He's got everything. And everybody
it was like a Fallon
and
monologue.
Everyone on the plane is hungover and tired.
Yeah, nobody wants to have
and they have
to
slay
it.
The dragon today, Monday, right? Yeah.
That's why they're on that plane. Why they're on that plane.
And they don't want to go home. They have
Then you can be people like Jimmy Cerrito. When's Jimmy coming back? Thursday? Is that when Jimmy's coming back?
Jimmy hasn't even left the Saints game yet.
Yeah, Jimmy's still at the Superdome. That's the way the way he rolls. I will say, as far as flying, my Jimmy. Wonderful airline, JetBlue. Oscar would be the spokesperson for Southwest. I could be the spokesperson for JetBlue. But JetBlue, you're slipping.
Why?
You are slipping. You're slipping because you changed gates on us, and then when we were at the gate, these were newbies. These were newbies that going to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, because they did not know that you wait because you've got A, B, C, D on a JetBlue flight.
Ooh.
Where they announce Zone A boards, right. Then B, and they board still from the back of the plane
and
to
you
the
have,
front.
But you have assigned seating at least.
There's assigned seating, but the lady at the gate was chatting quietly with her other gate attendant. I call them incompetent one and incompetent two. And she's sitting there and she's having a discussion, and they opened the gate and said, we are now ready to board. And as soon as she said that, because she didn't make a pre-announcement explaining how it happened,
right.
The cattle call stampeded toward the gate. And off mic, she has a PA
right
in her hand. And off mic, she says, no, don't board yet. And then went back to track, you know, loving her power.
Yes.
Chatting with her. And the comment was, well, tomorrow will be a better day. And I was so tempted to say, not if you're the gate attendant.
Oh, no.
Because see, it was very disorganized, and it didn't need to be. And this is a note to everybody at JetBlue that you're a transportation business, but you're also a communication business.
Sure.
All right. So when you sit there and shut the door to the aircraft, and then the flight attendant peeks out the window for the next 20 minutes, for a reason I don't know, I'd kind of like to know why you're peeking out the window.
Waiting for a surprise entrance?
Seriously, is Harry Connick coming down the jetway? Is that what's happening? Is there some specialty moment?
But
you're not explaining. You're not explaining because you have the same disease that the gate attendant had, where you talk to your coworkers, but you don't give us any f***ing information whatsoever. So she finally gets the word and says, flight attendants, prepare for departure. And she's, you know, she does her little twist the key, hit the latch, shut the door. And then, you know, when we pushed back?
When?
Half an hour later.
Oh, man.
So you're sitting there, and this is the airplane just going. And do you think they? Do you think the pilot who, by the way, was wonderful as the sidekick with the Fez in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom?
Indy. It is full of snakes.
Yes, it's full of snakes, Indy. If I had seen him prior to the flight leaving, I would have been terrified.
Now,
I saw him afterwards, and he looked like he ought to have a clown horn like you had on stage.
You didn't have the joy of what we had on the flight to New Orleans of a...
I'm not finished with my... hold on, alcohol breath. I haven't finished my story yet.
Okay, well, my apologies.
You're going to have plenty... We've got an entire show. Jesus Christ. Get with it. Come on. I knew I'd have a moment like that early in the show. Let me finish my rant, please, okay. For God's sake. Okay? Yeah. I was reminded of the time I flew down. I haven't finished my story yet.
So let me get this straight. You're not done yet.
Not done yet.
Okay.
So we're sitting there for a half an hour. Not a word. Not a solitary sentence as to why. And I have flown enough, as you guys have.
Mm-hmm.
You know that if you get the door shut and you shut it and you, bam, you're about maybe 5 minutes tops away from pushback
right.
From the gate. If you don't have that, something might be up.
Mm.
Something might be up. It could be as minor as having somebody come out and tweak something on the plane, or it could be we've got a technical issue mm. and you're going to have to get off the plane, which I've done before too. So I'm very frustrated, but there wasn't a word. There wasn't a single solitary word. I'm looking out the window to see what's going on. The lady next to me in the row is like doing pantomime and she's 900 pounds and I don't know why she's doing that. And Carla, you know, she, by the way, we thought we had a third empty seat because she was late getting on.
Oh,
and when this woman got on, I literally heard Carla. I hear Carla go, and listen, I'm a fat person. I don't mind fat people.
Right.
I respect fat people on planes. I by the way, if a fat person sits next to me or sits next to my wife, I go out of my way to be kind because
yes.
I'm sure that they get dirty looks. And
sure.
And I would not have minded. And by the way, she smelled wonderful. And I mean that. She had perfume on that was some spectacular.
Sweet or savory.
It was, I don't know. She smelled wonderful. But then when she began doing her... either talking to herself
right.
or rehearsing a speech. I don't know what she was doing, but she looked like she needed to be in an institution when she started to. But anyway, the moral of the story, for JetBlue, okay, busy, always sold out JetBlue, is communicate with customers.
That's what you want to know.
Not
you
have to really
let them
so.
Know. Yeah. Just let them know.
And by the way, the Southwest crap, I don't want your stick. I want information.
Yeah, last night I felt for
I want information.
I told
that's
him.
That's all I want.
I said, you know what? That was great material, but you had a dead crowd. I hate a dead crowd.
He made a tampon joke.
He did. I'd heard
well,
that
you
before.
Know, we never, to be honest with you, we're spoiled rotten because we get captive audiences. And, you know, and we do, when it dies for us is when we start focusing on Stephen Douglas McIntyre. That's when you know, we should not be paying attention to him at all in a crowd. Because, I mean, he is what he is, okay? A joyous, wonderful supporter of what we do. But if we focus on him when we're on stage,
yes,
it's crazy.
It is.
By the way, note to self, okay? No more 5-hour sound checks.
I think okay. It was...
And under this, a subset, not a sound man in the world who can fix a stage monitor. Anyway, so that's... to be honest with you, we are a simple band of clowns, right?
Yes.
We don't require a lot.
Some more
we
than others.
Too much. We ask too much of these guys. We're not, you know, we're not the Foo Fighters.
No.
You can put us on stage.
No.
Just plug us in. That's
yeah.
It. We'll get to that in a second. That'll be my one regret for the show. I've got several notes. I figured we'd have a meeting after the show, but no, I said we'll do it during the show.
Oh,
good.
Wow. That's okay. It. Perfect.
I used to be the life of the party, and so he said, "That's where I put my thermometer." But then, everything changed. I couldn't laugh, feel joy. I also couldn't maintain an erection, but that's unrelated, I guess. It was horrible until I found Lexapro Mera. Everything got good again when I subscribed to the Mike O'Mara bonus show. Listening to explicit content and hilarious insights, too raunchy for the usual show, got me out of my sad hole.
Do you or a loved one suffer from chronic lack of humor in your life? Lexapro Mera may be right for you. 4 out of 5 doctors recommend Lexapro Mera, and the other doctor is a f***ing liar.
Subscribing to the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show has been said to cure ailments like male pattern baldness, gout, moderate to severe plaque psoriasis, and will expand your life by 40 plus years.
Subscribing to the Bonus Show is the single best thing you can do for your mental health. So do it today. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it now. Do it. And I promise to never talk about my sad hole ever again.
The Best of O'Mara.
Oscar, you were the only person that got to see Gonzaga against the UCLA Bruins. Are they known as the Zags?
No, they're the Bulldogs, before we get all the letters.
The Bulldogs. Yeah, the you Bulldogs. Knew that.
Yes.
We all knew that.
And Pony picked them, remember.
Well, yeah, they're local. Them.
That's right. Idiot.
But he did pick Gonzaga.
Yeah,
he
number
did.
Number one
he
versus did. Number one.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Okay. You can't go number wrong. For the final, it's going to be, I'm sorry, it's going to be the Baylor versus Gonzaga. That's tonight, if you're listening on Monday, 9 p.m.
I watched a little of the Baylor game, and they did look like a professional team.
Yeah.
I mean, Baylor was so dominant. It's going to be hard for Gonzaga to get by them, but Gonzaga looked good, too. You were telling me it's one of the best college games you've seen.
Yeah, one of the best finishes to a tournament game that I've seen in some time. And I'll tell you why. One, the fact that UCLA was 11 and Gonzaga was 1, you kind of root for the underdog. I am torn because we have friends and family that love Gonzaga.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you want to root for the listeners as well. So you're like, all right. But what really drives me nuts and will sway me to your
go
team,
dogs,
Mike, is when you have a 15-year-old next to you that really loves UCLA so much for no reason other than being from, you know, the Los Angeles
He's
area.
Local, yeah.
He's local. But
is this Luca?
Luca. He talked throughout the entire game, which I'm fine with to a certain extent if you're talking about the game. But
is he into basketball?
Oh, he loves it.
Yeah.
But he's complaining about every commercial. Every commercial.
In what way? Why?
To the point of like, another commercial. Why were they?
He wants to see his sports. I get it.
I get it. But then his father, because his father is, you know, his father says, hey, you're complaining about everything. The game is tight. I get you're animated about this.
He's super into it.
Getting a little over the top when you have like six people sitting there and you're like, no, come on, which we're fine by.
Bring him over to the negative house.
Okay,
I'll embrace him.
Fine,
yeah,
fine,
make him a Giants fan and he can come sit with
and
me.
A Red Sox fan.
And he can live and I get what he's doing. It's like, oh my God, another. When you're into a basketball game and they do 45 timeouts in the last 40 seconds.
We're on the same page. And okay. As animated with him until it got a little over the top, and he was flopping on the couch, throwing himself everywhere like a kid would.
Yeah.
I said, you know what?
I like Luca more now.
I think I'm a Gonzaga. Don't even know him. I think I'm a Gonzaga fan. So I flip-flopped in the middle of the game.
Awesome.
So you decided because he was being so obnoxious that you would be
now I got to troll.
Now I got to troll
my own nephew.
He's anti-Luca.
Because he was, all right, that tells me, because this is how Oscar works, that he was really pissing you off by his negativity. So you decided to flip it on him and make him really.
To the point, it all started off with him saying that the dynamic viewing experience, which is for the TV my mom has, dulls the colors of the jerseys. Where I said, no, it brightens them up. So, like, this started from the beginning of he needed the correct color settings on the screen.
So you were really driven to take a kid who's not old enough to drive a car yet and troll him.
I had to.
Yeah, I think it's a wise choice.
By the way, that's the TV you purchased, right, for your mama?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely.
How many inches are we talking about? How many inches of basketball fun are we talking about?
72, if I'm not mistaken, something like that.
Fantastic. And he's bitching about the quality?
Oh. So like he's like, this is not top of the line LG. I said, well, no. But
did he really say
yeah,
that?
Something
dear.
Like that. Yeah, there are different tiers.
No,
he lives in a mansion on a peninsula. God bless him,
Mike. Yeah. If I got this right, if I get this right, Oscar, it was an overtime tied at 90 with 1 second left. Right.
Yes.
All right. I want to play you a few clips here, Mike. The first one is from CBS. Jim Nantz almost loses it. That's how exciting it was. Followed by Jim Nantz, we have ESPN, then Russia, then Westwood One Spanish. This is all four calls of the same end of the game. Okay?
Ties it with three. Gonzaga has time to do something. Suggs for the win. Oh, yes! Oh, yes! Unbelievable! Unbelievable! The perfect season remains on go.
Are you?
Oh, my God.
Serious?
There are onions, Jim, and then there are major onions.
Gonzaga.
ESPN. Hold on. Can you stop it for a second, please?
Of course.
There are onions. What did he say?
There are onions because he had tears in his eyes because he was so excited.
Oh. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, maybe not the best choice of words.
The Gonzaga season still on go. Yeah, that's not Vern Lundquist territory.
It was unexpected.
Sorry. It was very unexpected.
Okay. Yes. I do think Oscar's right that Jim Nance had to stray from the script.
And Gonzaga! That's a bingo! Gonzaga for the win!
Остановки, флоутер, недолет.
Саша убирает, забивает. 3 секунды. Ответы останавливаются.
Джейлен Сакс с центра на победу. Да ладно! Да ладно, он выиграл этот матч!
Да!
Да!
Spanish, Westwood 1.
29 puntos para Yusang, el triple en camino!
Sports people.
And Mike, the undefeated season is a go.
No one touches the Latin announcers.
They're great.
They're not touchable. That's spectacular. This is why back in the day when I worked in New York and we had car service that went from our building to the studio and all of the drivers were Dominican. Uh-huh. And I remember the first morning the guy said, can I turn this off? He's listening to Dominican morning show that I knew I didn't understand one word. I said, no, just the energy. I like hearing the... But the season is on go.
And the undefeated season is go.
Still a go.
So unexpected in our household. I was like, we're going another overtime.
Right.
That I literally was like, oh, Luke, another overtime. And I was trying to like, you know, because he's nervous. And I was like, do you want a soda? And then as soon as I said that, and we're both looking at the screen, it happened. He started crying, bawling, crying, because he was a Bruins fan.
Yeah.
I imagine if you're on the losing end of that, right?
And like clockwork, my mom walks in, his grandmother, and says, why are you crying?
Oh, and then she's so sensitive.
And she calls him bolas pesadas, which is heavy balls, which is in Spanish, which is crazy.
What does that mean? Can you?
What does heavy balls mean?
Like, you're all sappy about it. You're not, like, what are you doing? You're weeping there, crying. Like, get up, shake it off type of deal. And then
it's not what you want to hear when your team
not from your grandmother.
Not from your loving grandmother.
No, she says, hey, bolas pesadas, de que lloras, which is heavy balls. Why are you crying? Like,
wow.
Fascinating house. You wonder why he's the way he is?
Yeah.
Why his soul is full of gadgets? That's why right there.
Shaw, why are you crying?
Shaw. Oh, my God. I'm Jim Nance, and the bulldog has held his can you play the beginning of it again?
Of course.
I want to hear what Nance says again because it's just not.
Because he's not prepared.
Ties it with three. Gonzaga has time to do something. Suggs for the win. Oh yes! Oh yes! Unbelievable! Unbelievable! The perfect season remains on go.
What?
The perfect season. Turn the ignition. Unlock your car with your app. It's a fan. What an incredible Gonzaga has managed to call OnStar and save their perfect tire tread. There was an inch of tread left. Now there's a quarter inch, and they're still able to keep the car on the road.
The basket is good. Run into the ocean with your mouth open.
Okay, that's awesome. Oh my God. So I gotta watch that whole game.
Amazing.
I gotta watch that whole game. I gotta go back and watch it. Even though I'm not a basketball fan.
You really only need the last 4 seconds.
That's no time commitment there. Right?
Exactly.
I'll watch my priest abuser and then I'll do that. Oh, we gotta take a break. All right, we gotta come back because it's time for the audio vault. That was fantastic.
Digital dumpster.
What a game. Luca, I'm very sorry. You bitch and complain all you want. You're into your sports.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, don't cry in front of your grandma.
Does he like any professional teams?
Oh, yeah, he's all in. He is all in.
If he wants to suffer, New York Giants, we're looking for more fans.
I'll let him know.
Anyway, we'll be right back with Rob right here on the Mike America.
I'm dreaming of a white. Christmas.
This is Robert Wood, dubbed the whitest guy in America by Mike O'Mara. This time of year, when I'm not doing white guy stuff like cooking up meth or alphabetizing my Perry Como record collection, I'm trying to come up with great holiday gifts. That's why this year I'm giving the Mike O'Mara bonus show to everyone on my list. They'll laugh all year long, and I'll have the satisfaction of knowing that Mike, Rob, and Oscar will have a happy new year. So give the bonus show. It's easy. Just go to MikeOMaraShow.com.
The best of O'Mara.
News.
You know what?
What?
Every day this week, I have had that happen during a spot. And that didn't happen for about 5 years.
What's that?
So,
what?
I hate it. I'm a pro. I don't like that. That pisses me off. Remember, we've had people on this show. Remember when it used to happen all the time?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It, to me, is the height of unprofessionalism. If you've got that happening, be aware of it and go, bleh, like that. Thank you.
I didn't have a mute button.
Thank you. Hockey St. Louis Blues watched this all night last night. They won the Stanley Cup after beating the Boston Bruins 4-1 in Game 7. It is the first Stanley Cup for the Blues in their 51-year history. Congratulations to the St. Louis Blues.
Huge.
Warner, you want to throw it to the videotape?
Oh, let's do it. Do you have the Doc? You got Doc Emmer?
I've got the call from NBC, I believe. Here we go.
Okay. 10 seconds to go. The longest wait for a first title any team in this league has had. For the first time in their history, the St. Louis Blues are the Stanley Cup champions. And the reaction from the Enterprise Center. 18,500.
A lot of Blues fans there.
Yeah.
Raining earlier.
I get the impression they have a lot of adopted fans. Because St. Louis is not a huge market. But I think they have a lot of fans
around
the country.
A long time. They're the oldest team still in the league that had never won the Stanley Cup.
I didn't
and
know
that. To me, look, if you don't have a dog in the fight and you got a person that hasn't been in it for a while, and I'm a New Englander, I grew up a Bruins fan, and I know the deal. But I have to also say this. For the people that hit the exits in the Garden last night, that were rolling out of there when it became obvious that they were going to go down to defeat, you're missing one of the great traditions in sports.
Yes.
Don't be brats, Boston fan. You got a lot of Gen Xers in there that have probably never gone through the Red Sox getting their asses kicked and the joy of seeing them lose.
Tired from the last parade. I'm not staying.
We want another parade. We're entitled to it. There is a level of entitlement.
Of course
now
there is. Now there
that
is.
That exists with the Patriots and the Red Sox and the Bruins and the Celtics.
People
and
that are old enough to vote and drink don't know a losing Red Sox team.
They do not understand what it's all about. And I think that, look, if I was there and the Capitals got thumped and it was a big Game 7, I might hit the exits too. I might be pissed off too. I'm not going to say that that's not. But it's a great tradition to see a team that has never won for a city hoist the cup, and I was captivated by the whole thing. The game, meh. I was hoping the game might go right down to the last period. It did not. The Blues got them.
But a good ending. Good ending.
Wow, they had 250-1 odds in early January. That's when they were the bottom of the league. The Blues went on a tear in the second half of the season. 30 of their last 45 games. They earned the fifth seed in the Western Conference and defeated Dallas in 7 games, then San Jose in 6. That set up the showdown with the Bruins, the team that beat them the last time they made the finals, 49 years ago. So that's
amazing.
A long wait for their fans, and I hope the city of St. Louis is having
a great night for St. Louis and a great night for Gary Bettman.
Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the NHL, who gets booed summarily.
I'd like to present the Conn Smythe Trophy.
And the fans are just going,
boo!
It was,
I love
God, that guy.
He's
I wouldn't even do
fun.
It. Put a spokesman out there, Gary, egomaniac.
Could be
you
worse.
Know?
Could have been Pat Sajak.
He came out for the Caps. Yeah. It seemed pretty likely that Justin Bieber was kidding around when he challenged Tom Cruise to a fight. He admitted yesterday when the paparazzi asked him about it. He said, quote, "I don't know him. He's tight. The story is I saw an interview with him, and he was just on my mind. It was just a random tweet."
Hey, we had that. The word tight was in our bonus show this week. Remember, it was one of those quiz questions. So if you want to know what he meant, listen to the bonus show this week.
He added, quote, "He probably whooped my ass in a fight." How old is Bieber now when he's talking about
24?
Getting unified?
Yeah.
Grow up.
Young, 24, 25.
That's great. Sarah said 24, and Maddie gives me a double thumbs up. She's right, you know.
Hey, Maddie, you
the
know
mayor
what?
Knows. I mean,
what's he doing talking about fighting? Do you like that, or do you think he should just be Justin Bieber?
I mean, that's just so typical Justin.
Oh, Justin.
Justin.
Oh, Justin.
Good
oh,
answer, you're Maddie.
The mayor comes up with a good answer. Good
he
job.
He does.
Selena Gomez has more than 150 million followers on Instagram.
Wow.
Did you know that?
I did not know that.
That's good enough to make her the third most followed person on the app, but she doesn't even have it on her phone anymore. On a Live with Kelly and Ryan yesterday, Selena said, quote, and I'll try to do these quotes justice.
Okay.
For this woman.
All right.
I used to use it a lot, but I think it's just become really unhealthy. Thank you, Selena. I think personally for young people, including myself, to spend all their time fixating on all these comments and letting this stuff in, it was affecting me. It would make me depressed.
Tough on her, yeah.
It'd make me feel not good about myself and
not
look at
good.
My body differently and all kinds of stuff. Selena still posts about once a week or so, but how does she do it? I have it on someone else's phone, and when I feel like I want to share something with my fans or just mess around with it, I do it then.
Not buying
Brilliant.
It. Not
Thank
buying
you.
It.
Thank you very much.
By the
Not
way, do you know who the,
it,
do you know
really?
Who the two people that have more followers than her?
Who?
Kim Kardashian and Doreen Gensler.
Two people. there you go. TV lady. You're a TV lady, Sarah. You've been on
oh,
the
God,
TV.
Oh, God, I have. Does Doreen Gensler even have an Instagram account?
She doesn't have a cell phone.
Do you do the Instagram for Faye Fraze?
I do. Our business is very dependent upon it. But I understand what she's saying. I think you have to have a balance. I think you also have to realize that the way people behave on social media is different than in real life. You know, I use it strictly as a business thing. And I do think about, like, whatever you put out there, people are going to have good, bad comments. It's fine. I just posted an engagement picture, for example, of my fiance and myself. And someone wrote, you know, you always talk on your podcast how Dan, who's my fiance, is, like, so thin. Well, I'm looking at him and he doesn't look all that thin. Like, it just, like,
Jerks.
Whatever. Like,
did he have to get his ring changed?
No, he doesn't even have one yet. But oh, okay.
Mike, his belt
point,
size is a 5.
I don't care what people say. But she's in another category. Yeah, I mean, like, literally, no matter what that girl does, like, I mean, she just puts out a picture of herself and people are like, oh, you're ugly. You know, she can't win.
People can be cruel. I stopped doing it after I posted a picture of myself washing the car naked. It didn't go over as well.
I remember. I liked it. I clicked like.
It was embarrassing. It was terrible. Green Giant just released the results of its annual survey. This is a surprise. That's why I'm putting this on news you may not need. Most popular vegetables in America. And the winner won in a landslide.
Really?
Ooh, all right.
Any guesses?
Corn.
Oh, that's corn? A good guess. I was going to say asparagus.
I don't see asparagus. But Rob Spiewak came in second with corn.
Hey, see, and that's why, because corn's not really a vegetable. It's a starch, and we're a fat country.
This is true.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not really a veg.
Exactly. Right.
Number one, broccoli.
Really?
Broccoli.
I can see that.
I'm shocked.
Now, I'm shocked at that. Because of availability?
Ease,
that crap
availability,
so
yeah,
available.
And you know, hey, put cheese on it.
That it's, you know, I'm sorry, Sarah, I was wrong. Asparagus did there. Alaska picked asparagus.
Oh, there you
Montana
go.
Picked cauliflower. Ooh. Arkansas picked potatoes. And Idaho didn't even pick potatoes. They went for broccoli.
Really?
Broccoli, the winner in a landslide.
Brussels sprouts anywhere on the list?
I didn't see them. I didn't see them, and I hate them.
We need to bring them around. Good stuff.
According to a new study, we ingest so much plastic, it's the equivalent of eating an entire credit card every week. How do you take it in?
In everything, in Himalayan sea salt.
That's
it's
right.
in everything,
That's right.
apparently,
oh,
plastic
here it
is.
Is. The main sources delivering the plastic into our bodies are water, shellfish, beer, Rob Spiewak.
What?
And I swear to God, salt.
Yeah,
so you're
salt.
Correct.
Salt. That's what they said. And I love salt.
It's even worse because last week I saw our intern, Johnny, actually eat a credit card. So it's... Even bad. It's even bad that
I want to tell you. Well, is it safe? Maybe. It doesn't seem like it's making all of us sick, but it can't be great. How does one? So it gets just total tiny particles.
And particulates, I imagine. Yeah, and also
nasty.
Salt comes
okay,
in plastic containers.
I hate when they do this, though. Okay, so we ingest that, but how much do we like poop out? You know what I'm saying? Like, how much is coming in? How much is going out? Like, is half the credit card going out? Is like seven? You know,
all I saw was the chip.
Like, how much are we retaining? Because that's all I want to get.
Well,
okay.
If you're wondering that, what Sarah just suggested, get a stick. Get a stick. Okay, go through it with a stick. Always funny to go with ghosts.
Are you still in there?
All right. This one looks okay. See you tomorrow.
Thank you, Johnny.
Gotta take it outside and wash the stick. And now a little something.
Wash
something.
The stick.
Now this is an inside joke at the end. I have to say this. It's not going to be funny to anybody except Rob and me.
Okay.
The newest competition in Russia is the booty slapping championship.
Nice.
Have you heard of this? Do they teach you that here? It involves female I watched a little of that last night.
Okay.
It involves female competitors spanking each other as hard as possible.
Ooh.
And the goal is to make the person you're spanking take a step forward. The first ever booty slapping championship was just held in Siberia.
A good place.
All those crazy Russians. The contest was inspired by a different contest in Siberia in March. That's a face slapping championship.
Okay.
We did that on the old Don and Mike show.
I remember.
That's where men hit each other in the face as hard as possible. Then the only way to win was to have your opponent submit. As much as it sounds like it's a sexual thing, the booty slapping championships were fully clothed during the competition. A lot of the women who competed are in the fitness world. I love these stories.
Well written.
Sometimes they just make me laugh. So because they're fully clothed, I guess it's not all that sexual.
Right.
It doesn't have to be naked butts for people to, you know, look at that as kind of something, stimulating.
Sure.
We'll have more details when we interview the MC for the event, Kirk McEwen. Coming up next week. I'm sorry. Little dig at my old radio partner. There you go. He said yes.
My favorite part, Mike, was at the end of the booty competition when Gary Bettman came out and presented the trophy.
These are some of the greatest booties we have ever seen. Very, very firm. Thank you.
He sounds like, yes, that is my Bob Kraft impression,
yes,
too. Gary Bettman and Bob Kraft sound the same,
yes,
on a microphone in a stadium.
But Gary Bettman doesn't go to the massage parlor.
we don't know that.
I know because I asked him.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.